All right, welcome everybody to August 20th. Okay, this is March 21st on this piece of paper. August 21st hearing for the Board of Equalization. Sorry, Mr. Keesers was late coming in, so he's getting caught up. Mr. Secretary, do we have quorum?
Yes, we do, Chairman.
All right, thank you. So for the record, we have Mr. Kearse, Ms. Goodrum, Mr. Fugue, Mr. Tandale, Mr. Keesters. Ms. Yu is here as the alternate. So we have a full quorum. So I'll go ahead and call to order the meeting. The first order of business is a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you, everybody.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question about process.
Yes.
So when we have a full group like this, if somebody abstains from voting on an application, will the alternate then be allowed to vote?
No.
No?
No. The voting members are five. So if a voting member removes himself from the hearing, then we can have the alternate vote. But if the voting member abstains from a particular motion, then you don't have another vote, or the alternate doesn't vote.
Okay, that's curious.
The majority will vote.
Yes.
Is there a tissue in here?
Probably not.
Sorry.
No worries. We're sort of waiting. So I will read a FOIA statement. So this hearing is open to the public. Is there anyone that is present who is not here to appeal the real estate assessment that wishes to address the Board of Equalization? And seeing nobody responding, so there are no public speakers for today's hearing either. So we will go ahead and start with the first case, which is appeal number 6738, Redwood ERC Ashburn LLC. And I see it looks like the representatives for both parties are here. So if each of you could introduce yourself, keep in mind we're being recorded, so if you can introduce yourself, and also if your name is not Smith, if you can just spell the last name for the record.
I'm Lindsay Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, and I am a commercial appraiser for Loudoun County.
Thank you. Brian Williams, Deputy Commissioner for Loudoun County.
Thank you.
Suzanne Ross, I'm Senior Manager with Altus Group.
Thank you.
Spell my name, but I don't think you need to.
Yes, that one's easy.
Yeah.
And you're representing the owner.
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am. All right, great. All right, so I will swear in all the representatives. You'd all raise your right hand. Do you swear that the evidence that you shall give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And like a record show that all three representatives have been sworn in. So, Ms. Ross, I know you know how we do it. Because we're recorded, I'll give the shorter part of the spiel, but basically we'll allow the appellant to open statements, and then we'll allow the core to make their opening statement. And at that point, board members will ask questions. I will be paying attention, so board member or other party says something and you sort of want to address it, you know, I'll be looking to see if you just react and I'll come to you. Once the board members are finished with questions, then I'll ask for a motion. And then at that point, it's a discussion between the board members and then we'll have the vote.
Okay.
I don't know if you have any questions before. Okay. So Ms. Ross, please go ahead and start.
All right. As you said, this is Ashby Ponds. It's a retirement community that has, as of January 1st, has 1527 units. There's 1392 independent living, 55 assisted, 36 memory care, and 44 skilled nursing. All three approaches were used, but as the county uses the income approach, we based it on that. If you turn to page 9 of our appeal packet, you can see our side-by-side analysis. Our biggest contention is that the county continues to use the community loan interest as part of the income approach. I know you guys have voted on this in the past. I really would like to explain it. The community loan interest is an arrangement whereby Ashby Ponds is loaning the landlord money to build the property. That is why I know there's confusion in the write-up from the county that says, why would it start to cease? Because the building's built. So it is not the fees that the interest fees or the amortized interest fees. If you look at the county's packet, I believe it was on page 4, you can see that they're double dipping. They're using the amortization of non-refundable entrance fees, and then they're using interest income for that community loan. And the community loan is not part of the income stream. It's a finance. It's a finance item to help them build the properties. They don't own the land, so it's a loan, and it's sort of, as the term ends, it kind of ceases because, as you know, it's almost totally built. It's still in some construction terms. That's all I have. I wish I had some more. I don't have the 2023 financials, the audited financials that had footnotes that I did send part to Lindsay from the 2022 financials that kind of explains that it is a financial situation. It is not the interest fees. You can't. It's just unfair to add, you know, the interest, the amortized non-refundable fees, for instance, in 2022-23 were 5.8, and then they're adding an additional interest income. The thing I like to explain to, like, analysts when they're starting out is, if I buy my house and my exact same house next to me, they purchase it right out, and I have a loan, and I pay interest on my loan, does that make my house more or less worth in value? No, it's the same house. I just don't know how to, and perhaps I don't have adequate information to provide that the county will understand what I'm trying to say, but that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Core?
Yeah. We have, we've talked about this multiple times over the years. The interest income is broken into two sections. I do not believe that we are double dipping. We have the amortization of the non-refundable entrance fees. They have a 90% refundable deposit, and they have a 10% non-refundable. So the amortization of the non-refundable entrance fees is the amortization over 8 years of the 10% non-refundable.
Can you repeat that again? I'm writing as you talk.
That's okay.
So the entrance fees, 90% are refundable.
90% refundable.
Okay, and 10%?
Non-refundable.
Okay.
So the amortization of non-refundable entrance fees is the realization of that 10%.
Okay.
That's non-refundable.
Okay.
The interest income is the interest being held on the other 90%.
Okay.
So that, I mean, if they're holding an entrance fee that is refundable, 90%, that interest is going to be generated somewhere. And this is not an appeal for Ashby Ponds. This is an appeal for Redwood ERC. Redwood ERC is the landowner. They're the ones reporting the interest. And so they're the ones paying the property tax. So in the end, you can show that year over year, as the units go up on my page 4, it has stayed consistent, the amount of interest. I believe it's here. Hold on, let me find it. Average interest per unit. It's the second, where on my analysis, on the very towards the bottom, it's the second line down. It has stayed roughly average, close to 16,500 per unit as the units have gone up over the years. So they are realizing that interest on that refundable 90%. And that's always going to be there because if you think about it, when they move out, they're going to replace that with the next person that moves in. So that 90% refundable is always going to be there. They're going to be holding a deposit for somebody. And so we believe that that income, when you add it in, is what makes them equal to their peers. If somebody else is paying a full monthly payment versus a reduced monthly payment, but they have a larger upfront fee, and if you add this interest in and you break it down, then it makes them equal to their peers on a per-month basis. And that's why we've included this over year over year. And that's where we've been.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is that, you know, the affiliate-corporate relationship, how that money moves around doesn't change the fact that at the end of the day, it's still revenue generated in Loudoun County from Loudoun County residents who have leased or bought into Ashby Ponds. How that money moves beyond back and forth, we're still, as Lindsay said, looking at Redwood, not Ashby Ponds in particular. Redwood's the property.
Okay.
So.
All right. So board member questions.
Can I ask you a question?
Mr. Tandale.
You said that 10% is non-refundable. That means that is also an income for the owner, right? 10% is income as well as interest on 90% non-refundable. Refundable is also income. Are you considering both or?
So we're considering the interest on the not on the on the refundable.
What about 10% the, non-refundable?
The 10% non-refundable is that amortization of non-refundable entrance fees.
That is not income.
It is income. It is.
Okay. That's also
yes.
Over 8 years.
Yeah.
Oh, it's done over 8 years.
Oh, eight years. Okay. So both are considered as income.
Both are considered as income.
Okay.
Ms. Ross said that we were double dipping. I don't believe we are double dipping. That is why there are two interest
yes.
lines, because there's a refundable and a non-refundable.
So my question is that you don't have issue with the land value, only with the building value, I think. Your opinion, I mean, like, you're appealing for only billing value.
Correct, or the income, so it's the overall
value. Okay, what is your contention? Like, the income is not correct, or do you have any other valuation or
no,
calculation?
No, I'm just saying what the owners told me, or what Erickson Living, who manages the property, they said that community loan has nothing to do with it. It's just a finance. They give that money for them to build the property.
So you mean say you're not the owner.
No,
so owner has no objection to this valuation then, your valuation.
No, that's not correct. That's why there's an appeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I have a letter of authorization giving me the authority.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's what I wanted to know, actually. So, okay. That's about it.
Ms. Goodrum?
Suzanne, you said that the audited financials for 2023 were unavailable, or
yes.
Are you not allowed to share them?
They aren't available yet. I'm not sure what's going on. If I had that, I could probably explain it a little more. I could have provided that to Lindsay so she would see.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking about the interest, $25 million on 10%, I don't know. It seems a little high to me, but I don't have the audited financials, and I apologize.
Okay, no, that's okay. I mean, and this has come up previously, so as a numbers person, if you had said, hey, I don't have 2023% are available yet, but here's 2022, I can walk you through the methodology, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I did provide the income and expense data. That was another kind of point that Lindsay had written that I didn't provide it. I'm not asked for the income and expense surveys, the owners are. When I appeal something, I always, you know, provide that in my appeal packet. It's not like I was ignoring the request or anything.
Okay. Or in the memorandum that they provided, they referenced the 2022 audit report, and I did request the 2022 audit report and was told they would not provide it to me.
Okay. And what was that? After the audit report was already available?
After this packet
2022.
After this packet was submitted as part of the...
After the 2024 packet was submitted.
Correct.
For
I'm just...
Okay.
Yeah, I did request the 2022 audit report and
okay.
was told it was unavailable as well.
Okay, and then for either one of you guys to answer, are you guys on a fiscal year or are you guys on a calendar year?
Calendar year.
Calendar year. So 2022 should be available.
2023 should be available as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure. There's some of our clients, it's really hard to get in touch with them. And like, even for the unit count, I know the county has a higher unit count. I requested a unit count, and they gave me every property that they own.
Okay.
And so I was...
They're helping you, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. I have it here somewhere, but... Yeah, you can see they have every unit, every property that they own.
Outside of Ashby Ponds.
No, Ashby Ponds is on here, and it says that there are a total of, what I said, I counted them up, there's 1,392 independent living, 55 assisted living, 36 memory, and 44 skilled. So that came to 1,527 units. Of course, they are still building, so in the future they probably will be where the county unit count is, or even more.
Ms. Ross, so you used the term community loan interest. Are you saying that that is the combination of what the county is saying as the amortization of the non-refundable fees plus the interest income, mortgage interest income, or community loan receivable interest income? Are you saying that these two lines here are what you were talking about, the community loan interest?
The community loan interest is money that they pay to have the buildings built.
Okay, that's not what I asked. What I'm asking is that the Corps has done their calculation.
Correct.
Here. I'm assuming you've seen the calculation.
Seen.
So what I'm asking is, it's community loan interest. Is that the same as these numbers? Because you made the comment that they're double dipping. I don't mean to sound accusatory. I'm just
okay.
Trying to get to the point.
I'm not taking it accusatory.
Okay, thanks.
No, I just think that I don't think Lindsay just, those numbers in the beginning were on there. I think she probably got 2019 and 2021, those others, I'm not sure, maybe the 2020 and 2022, but I haven't gotten that yet for 2023, so I don't,
okay.
Which she wouldn't have gotten, so.
Okay, so then, because, I mean, I think I understand, but I want to make sure that I clarify this. Because you talked about community loan interest at the beginning, and it took about a minute and a half to explain it, and to me, if it takes more than a minute and a half, that's problematic because it should be easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back to that. You said community loan interest is somebody loaning money to somebody to build the properties at Ashby Pond?
Yes, that's what I was told. And if you look at page 17, I asked my client to explain it exactly. Of course, he keeps referring to the audited report and then told me I couldn't provide it. So,
my concern is that people tend to explain things the way they want to get the answer that they want, which, and I'm not blaming you.
I'm not
blaming anybody, but
right.
That's what happens. I'm trying to figure out what it really is. I think the Corps has looked at everything, and they've come to their position on what they think it is. And so I'm just trying to understand what the owner is trying to portray with the community loan entrance. Community loan interest, because it says range where Ashby Pond loans initial entrance fees paid by residents of the entity that owns land and buildings. To me, initial entrance fees, that would be that 100% that's given, 10% which is non-refundable, and 90% which is refundable, which sounds exactly what the Corps has said. So I don't see where there's a distinction. And when I look at the Corps' methodology, and I'm an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's two accountants, or former accountant, on the board. So we understand how amortization of entrance fees works.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely the way it should be taken in consideration. So for me, it just seems to me when I read what the owners have put on their explanation, it sounds more confusing than it needs to be to hopefully have us, as a BOE, say that it shouldn't be included. So I'm just trying to figure out. It sounds like it needs to be included. So I'm not seeing that argument.
Okay. Well, hopefully next year we'll have a better argument for you or better explanation.
And I will be open-minded every time that they come. But if they just use different terms or try and explain a different way, it's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at it, I'm going to rule the same way. Well, let me explain. I don't rule. I will vote
mm-hmm.
the same way. Mr. Kears.
Do I have a question that's ready for make motion when you're up?
Okay. Any other questions from board members? All right. Mr. Kears, do you have a motion?
I do. Regarding PIN 0604-988-0900, I move to uphold the county's and the Corps' assessed valuation of $51,817,500 for the land, $368,771,920 for the improvements, for a total valuation of $420,589,420.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Ms. Goodrum, a second. All right. Any questions or comments? All right, board members, all those in favor of the motion, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So that passes 5-0. All right. All right. Thank you for that, Ms. Ross.
Thank
you. You're good. And, yeah, you're representing all of them. Okay, awesome.
Oh, good. Take that back.
No, not at all.
All right. okay, so next appeal will be appeal 6729. This is NTT Global Data Centers, LLC. Okay, we have a one new person for the Commissioner of the Office. Core. So I will go ahead and swear you in. If you can state your name for the record.
Heike Redden, H-E-I-K-E. Last name is Redden, R-E-D-D-E-N.
Thank you, Ms. Redden. And Ms. Redden, do you swear that the evidence that you shall give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Let the record show that Ms. Redden has been sworn in, and the other two representatives have already been sworn in, Mr. Williams and Ms. Ross. So, okay, so Ms. Ross.
Yes, for this property, Ms. Redden and I were discussing, and she actually offered to reduce the property to $915,831,916. I was unable to get in touch with the clients in time to sign the settlement agreement, so I would agree to that value.
Okay, excellent.
Can you just repeat what PIN number we're on or what case?
08840-7447. It's VA39.
Okay. Yeah, so we received late last week the rent rolls, and upon analyzing the rent rolls, we still didn't receive the income and expense statements, which would have helped tremendously. We came to the conclusion to lower the megawatts from. From 120 megawatts to 106.948 megawatts, which brings us to a total income value of 894,447,810, and then we're adding the approved unbilled density value for a total value of 915,831,910, which the land value would remain the same, 90,786,800, and then the building value 825,045,110.
Okay. First of all, let me clarify. Ms. Redden, so we have 90,787,400 for the land value.
There was a admin appeal. Okay, bear with me here.
I mean, $800, we probably don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Oh, okay.
But we can clarify that. So, Ms. Ross, so the total number that Ms. Redden said, was that the number that you had in your head?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's the number that you're good with?
Correct.
Depending on how those $400 show up. Okay, so what So Ms. Redden, if you can give us the total number again.
915,831,910.
Okay, and that's the number, Ms. Ross, that you were satisfied with.
Yes, because once I had appealed the property, Ms. Redden was nice enough to send me how they do their income approach. It was in the boards, and so I just followed it along, and we came to the same conclusion.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to cut to the chase, and for board members. I'm not making a motion myself, but my thought is that we would accept that total value and keep the land value that we have shown, just because administratively it's easier to say that we affirm the land and we adjust the improvements. And I'm also sort of stalling for somebody, hopefully, who's doing the math.
I have a different question.
Okay, Mr. Kearse, yes.
I'm curious about the land valuation for the data centers. For example, in this application, it comes out to like $1.16 million per acre. The next one, it's $1.6 million per acre. And I know the data center land has been selling upwards of $2 to $3 million an acre. I'm just wondering how the county comes to the valuation of the land for data centers, and given that we have so many sales, why is it more equal?
So the way we handle the data centers is we don't do it on an acreage or per foot basis. We do it based on gross floor area. So typically, for vacant land, the buy right is a 0.4, and then we use $60 per GFA foot and apply it to that. So the same thing would apply here. We take the total building square footage. That's what we would use.
Times 60 area ratio.
We would essentially multiply that by $60 a foot, and then that's how we came up with the land value. So it's not on a, you can't use per acre, you have to use GFA. It's more fair because at the end of the day, if you use either a dirt foot or an acreage, there may be parts of the property that are unbuildable for whatever reason, but you're attributing a value to them. We're trying to keep it strictly to how much building could they get on that property, or how much building already exists on that property. And then take that GFA square footage and multiply that by 60.
So if somebody owned a parcel, let's say, I don't care, they paid $50 million, whatever they paid for it, and they build one data center building, you're going to have a value of the land. Then they build a second data center building on the land. Then you're going to increase that land value because now there's, the gross floor area just doubled, say.
We would look at the plans, and so this happens exactly on this. There's two more data centers coming. So the unbuilt density that they're allowed to build is on the land value, the same as the build ones are.
Okay.
It's $60 a square foot.
So what they're approved for, that's the number for the 60, that's the number you got.
Correct.
Okay. So that explains it, because you're not doing it based on acreage.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, Mr. Few, did you want to?
No, sir.
Okay,
got it.
Thank you.
I have a question for the course. So you said that $90 per kilowatt per month, that is the income based. So how did you come to number? Did they provide the information of the kilowattage usage to you?
That's based on market data that we collect. So we apply this $90 per month per kilowatts across the board.
In electricity usage, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what if they put up solar panels and get free electricity? What would you do?
They would still, like in this case, there would be a rent roll and an internal operating statement, and we would see that they are paying less. If this is a theoretical.
That will be reduced then. The income will be reduced, right?
So possibly.
Right. So
if they can generate that much electricity from solar panels.
Yeah. But then they probably would have additional expense because buying the solar panels costs so much money.
But that's not income, right? That's a capital expenditure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the standard that the Corps is using.
Okay.
We haven't seen that yet.
Okay. Any other questions, board members? All right. Do I have a motion?
I didn't write down that new number.
I said that.
I've got it, I think. Hold on.
I can make a motion.
Here's the total number right here.
Do the numbers are changing?
I don't know.
That's the total.
That's the total.
Yeah, I have the total.
And then we
just changing, right?
Yeah. And then just change that one.
Okay. All right. I make a motion for the PIN number 0084074447000 for the appeal number 6729, holding the land value as it is 90,787,400, and the improvements is changing.
I haven't calculated it. I thought you calculated it. Okay.
$325,044,510.
Right.
All right. For a total of $915,831.
Okay, hold on. So, first of all, everybody stop talking. And Mr. Kearse, if you did the calculation, then everybody stop talking so we can get on the record.
I think I have the number.
I know, but people were talking and I didn't hear it, and I want it on the record. So could you say that number again, please? Mr. Kearse?
I didn't have the incorrect total number, right? 915, I think.
Okay.
Is it 950?
It's 1,000,000.
It's 915.
That's what I said.
The issue was that the land here should be 97,68,400.
So this calculation is correct, right?
It's just a $400 difference.
No. That's why.
No, we just decided, this just occurred, so the land value should be correct.
The land value is correct.
Correct?
Can you send me the signed settlement?
So which amount is agreed by you?
They didn't sign it.
$915,831,910.
All right, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay, all right.
I move that we affirm for appeal number 6729 for PIN number 088-407-447-000 that we affirm the land value that the Corps has assessed of $90,787,400 and that we reduce the improvement value to $825,044,510. And that would make the total assessed value $915,831,910.
Second.
All right.
It doesn't really matter.
Second from Mr. Kearse.
Improvement.
Just kidding.
Yes.
I'm still here.
All right.
You could have said, do it again.
So since there's a second, I will speak to my motion, which is just that the Corps has come up with an alternate evaluation, which the appellant has agreed to. I just did the math to come up with the change to the improvement value. And are there any other questions on this?
No.
All right. All in favor of the motion as stated, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. That passes 5-0. All righty. Thank you. So the next appeal is appeal 6720. This is NTT Global Data Centers America. And we have the same representatives as the last appeal, so nobody needs to be sworn in. And so, Ms. Ross, you can go ahead.
Our difference on this one, once I got the comments to the board on how they actually use the income approach, the only difference we have here is that Ms. Redden has 14 megawatts, and I have, as of January 1, that there were 13,618 kilowatts available. So she has 14,000 kilowatts, and I'm at 13. And my revised request value was $111,474,220. So that's using the $90 times 13,618 kilowatts times 12 to get the gross potential.
Can you say that number again?
Sure thing. The my requested number? Or
your requested number.
$111,474,000 and then 220.
474,220. Okay, that's different than what we have in our packet. That's why I'm asking. We have 111,780.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, Ms. Ross, if you recognize that number.
Yes. Initially, when I got the county's guidelines, I'm an ex-assessor myself, so I like to follow the guidelines. And initially, the guidelines said that they were valuing properties 8.1 million per megawatt. So that's where that number comes from.
Okay. All right. So
initially, we're told, can you repeat that again? Well, they provide guidelines. So initially, the guidelines said that for 462Rs that they valued the land at $60 per square foot,
yeah,
and then 8.1 million per megawatt for the total value. So that's where the difference is. Once I received the hiking guidelines, and in all these instances, I used her guidelines. But our only difference is that she found online that there's 14,000 kilowatts, and I was told as of, they didn't provide it at January 31st that there was only
13,618 megawatts.
Kilowatts.
Kilowatts, sorry.
Okay.
That would be huge.
What is the supporting information for their claim versus the Core's claim?
I provided, I did provide you with the rent roll, but I don't look like I have it here. The owners couldn't provide an income and expense statement because everything is on the same statement. Said it was going to take months, and Heike was nice enough to consider, okay, well, she has guidelines if I can provide exactly the kilowatts, which she did find online that it said 14,000. I was told 13,618. So that's the only difference that we really have in our analysis.
Okay. So I'll let the Core with your opening statement.
Yeah, so they advertise 14 megawatts on there as a critical load. And if you take Ms. Ross' number, 13.618, it's 3% that could be vacancy when you look at the rent roll. It doesn't specify that, but if you take our number, the 14 megawatts, and subtract 4%, we get to 13.44 megawatts, which is lower than the actual effective Mrs. Ross is claiming. So there's no change on my part that I would recommend, I would suggest to
okay.
keep the calculation as they are.
Okay. All right. Board members, any questions? Mr. Kearse.
Just to understand that you're assuming the 14 plus the vacancy rate puts you below what they had stated, therefore there's no reason for it to change.
Correct.
Okay. Do you concur?
No.
Ms. Good?
Hi, just to say it's a very interesting thing because I think about when I put my real estate hat on as opposed to accounting, marketing properties myself, I know realtors all the time will round up square footage because it sounds sexier. You know, you're not going to say my basement is 2,438 square feet. You're going to say 2,500 square foot basement. So I can see why the marketing people are doing this, which is why I wanted to know what's the support.
I did provide, I don't have a copy of it, I apologize, but I did provide the rent roll when requested. I don't think I have
one. Is it in here?
I don't think you have
it. No, we just got this late last week.
Okay.
And Suzanne, what's the source of that documentation?
It was a rent roll. I just have a snapshot of it here, but it totaled up the IT load. They didn't give me one as of January 1, but this was as of January 31st or something.
Okay.
So that they said that they had 13,618.
But that hasn't been audited or anything. That is just somebody's spreadsheet.
That's the rent roll, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions, board members? Do I have a motion from board members? Mr. Kearse.
For PIN 06038653000, I move that we uphold the Core's evaluation for land of $7,392,000, improvements $107,209,190, for a total of $114,601,190.
Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Tandale.
If we're going to use actuals and actuals, they provided an actual number of wattage, then the county could go back and do an actual vacancy percentage. And it turns out it works in the appellant's favor. Just leave it as is. So,
okay. Any other comments or questions from board members? All right. All those in favor of the motion as stated, please raise your hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes 5-0. Thank you. All right, so we are on the last appeal, which is appeal number 6724, which is Raging Wire Data Centers. We have the same representatives as the last appeal, so nobody else needs to be sworn in. So Ms. Ross, please go ahead.
In this instance, like the first data center, Ms. Redkin and I, Redden and I have agreed to $103,141,100. And again, I'm sorry that this wasn't provided sooner. She was very considerate, you know, and patient with me trying to get the information from the clients.
Oh, wait, could you say that number again?
It was 103-141-100.
Okay. All right.
Core?
Total?
Yes.
The total, yes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So it's the breakout between the land and the approval.
Can I ask that we hold off on that for a second?
Oh,
if,
well,
to, before we decide if the core even agrees with that total.
Okay, I'm just wondering where the number is. We don't have it in our material, so I just want to write it down. Once you take it.
Oh.
But.
Well, okay. Let me put it read in before you have any further statement. Do you agree with that number that was stated by the appellants? $103,141,100.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Now, Ms. Goodrum, and you asked about the breakdown.
The land is $6,559,200, correct?
Yes, it stays the way it is.
That
okay.
works.
All right. So, does Cora have any other statement?
Not really. We had this at 24 megawatts, and based on the information provided, we are reducing it to 12.6 megawatts.
All righty. All right, board members, have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So can you just walk through the methodology of how you went from 25 to 12.6? Thank you.
Yeah, we received the information from Ms. Ross, and we this one here, again, on their website, they're posting 12.6 megawatts.
Okay.
And we also received a rent roll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions from board members? Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Pugh.
That appeal number 6724, PIN number 060-2985-4800, that we uphold the change that the Corps has come up with, that the land value is $6,559,200. And the improvements are $96,581,900 for a total value of $103,141,100.
I second the motion.
All righty. Mr. Fugue motion, second by Ms. Goodrum. I'll actually just make a clarification for the record. The motion will affirm the land value that the Corps has already assessed, but will change the improvement value. Any questions or comments? All right. All those in favor of the motion as stated, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
All right. And that motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Thank you.
That is the last appeal for this hearing. So unless there's any other comments or questions from board members?
This is the coolest name of an LLC for a data center I've seen. Raging wire.
I know.
All right. Well, this meeting, this hearing is over. It's adjourned.
Okay.